Hello and welcome to Vignetics Leadership Spotlight. My name is Michael Rose. I'm President and Managing Director of Vignetic, and we are here today on the Leadership Spotlight edition where we engage and glean insights from today's IT and business leaders on trends impacting their talent and growth objectives. Today, Vignetic is honored to have as our special guest an esteemed IT leader whom we've actually had a front row seat to experiencing her leadership journey. We welcome to the show this morning Miss Akira Bell. Good morning, Akira.
Good morning, Mike.
Thank you for joining us here at Vignetic Leadership Spotlight.
Yes, and that's funny because we do remember the first time we talked was over 20 years ago.
Yes, yes, yes. It has been a journey, and I want to say that it has been also an honor to work with you and partner with you as you've gone through the journey.
Likewise, you guys have been right by my side as an important partner.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for your leadership. Akira is currently Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer at Mathematica, a technology and data solutions firm that delivers data insights to the federal as well as commercial space. Akira is overseeing technology infrastructure and governance and leads strategy for delivering innovation in support of their client initiatives. But prior to joining Mathematica, as Akira mentioned, we have been engaged in supporting her efforts and in implementing numerous information technology initiatives through her work at Aramark, at Hess, and even prior at IBM Global Services. Akira has been recognized for her achievements and was featured in CIO Magazine in previous years. And she is a graduate of Princeton University, as well as one of the select alumni that have their parents actually that have gone to that graduated from Princeton University as well. Is that right, Akira?
I have a mother who is in the first class of women for when Princeton first admitted their first women to the university in 1969. My mother was among those women, and I have been blessed to also have a daughter there. So the three of us are an all-female three-generation legacy.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Yeah.
So, Akira, a couple of questions just about, your insights about the marketplace. You have over 20 years of experience creating really transformative IT solutions for companies across various industries. What are your top takeaways today on how to begin creating solutions when, most people are basically averse to change? And change management, as we know, is always an issue, but these days the change seems to come faster and more furious in the marketplace.
That is true, especially these days. I'd say most CIOs have evolved to not be just thinking about their technology and leading their messages with technology, but leading in messages and storytelling about business and value to the company and strategy alignment. It is easy for people to feel change resistant or change averse when we're talking about changing lots of technology, and even the terms digital transformation for many sound like it's going to turn their worlds upside down. And what we as CIOs have had to reflect on is how we tell stories and with a different message, with a different ending that talks about value, reduced friction, ease of collaboration, poising the company for diversification, better revenues, better business and different business models as we think about how we engage our clients and our business differently. But for sure, one of the biggest partnerships I have is with our org readiness functions. We can't deploy major change to the company without thinking about how it impacts talent, without thinking how it implicates organizational design, as well as my partners in change management who help me think about stakeholder management and how people are going to be experiencing the change and managing communications and how they receive it going forward. That's one of the most important partnerships I have.
Awesome. And you know, layered, I think, on top of your point with respect to the role that talent plays in executing change effectively and efficiently, you know, we know that both, I think you, Akira, in the work that you've done over the years, as well as Mathematica in the years that they've been engaged, have focused on diverse talent, right? Which I think adds another level of challenge, but also encourages and creates an environment in which additional ideas, perspectives are brought to the table, right? You know, what advice would you give to companies that are looking for the best way to cultivate and even retain, you know, diverse talent in this competitive talent marketplace, particularly given, you know, the change that's before folks these days, right? Attracting talent is a heavy lift.
Man, my answer to that 2 years ago would have been very different than my answer is today. the market for attracting and retaining tech talent in particular has changed so much since the pandemic. You know, the demand for tech solutions has been gone up kind of industry-wide globally to the point that there's such a labor shortage for good talent. And not only that, as we've seen in the last couple of years with that growth, that high demand for tech talent has come a lot of challenges in cybersecurity, which means we need to be very busy and retaining talent that manage risk for us. So we have to think both about value and solution providers from a talent perspective, as well as people who help us manage integrity and risk of our solutions. So both of those have become a different ballgame in the last 2 years. And, you know, the way that I think about it, you know, whereas a lot of times in different companies, you have people and, you know, maybe they can switch from one peer company to the others. Oftentimes tech people can move out of industry without having kind of the start over aspect that some other professions have, which means as tech leaders, we have to be thinking about staffing and talent development and sourcing a lot differently than some of my peers who lead other functions. In this current market, the story can't begin and end with, well, we reward and recognize talent equitably, although that is something that we want to do. We definitely say we want to reward and recognize talent differently, but that talent is now stretched thin. They're working really hard. They're overworked because there's just not enough of them. And so we have to lead with, how are they engaged? How flexibly can they manage their work? Do they find an inclusive and engaged environment to team in? How are they collaborating with others? And at Mathematica, we do try to lean in hard on, as a differentiator, if they feel some kind of tie and passion to our mission. And we have a mission that's about, you know, public well-being. And center of that is leading equity at the heart of our work. And as diverse people come to us and they see that we are leading in an area and not just internally in what we are doing, focusing on DE&I efforts internally, but it's core and part of the work that we lead for our client space. Sometimes we find that there's better stickiness with employees. The more they feel aligned to our mission, the more that speaks to them personally. At least that's what I find for myself and some of our longest standing employees. For, for us, we also have an ESOP that's a different differentiator than many of our competitors can offer that also leads to very equitable reward programs.
Yeah, and on so many levels, when we look at Mathematica and its approach, its commitment, its mission and vision, it really sets a standard for what is pursued by talent, not just diverse talent, but think mission-minded talent that's out there in the marketplace today. So you raise a good point. These shifts that talent is able to take these days between industries, particularly in IT, it's not just driven by, it's not just opportunistic or opportunity-driven. It is more about what is the impact that the organization is looking to make. And so that's it's awesome that Mathematica leads with that, you know.
Yeah, I'd also say that because velocity is so different in the last couple of years in terms of both demand for new staff and threat velocities is different. Mm. We do have to look at sourcing in a different way than we did before, because we can't grow our teams overnight as fast as things are growing. So we do have to leverage partners in a different way.
Yeah. So and to your point, Akira, you know, Vignetic has been partnering with you, not just at Mathematica, but in previous years to identify highly qualified talent and support your business and goals and objectives. As a leader, can you tell us a little about when and how you decide to select a talent acquisition partner and even to some degree how you evaluate the impact that they make within the organization?
Sure. And you're right. You guys have been with me every step of the way. Every move I've made, I bring you guys with me because of the value that you bring. And because specifically, you've allowed the teams that we've grown to grow appropriately and cultivate our talent in a right-sized way, in a right-sized pace. So the example I'll give for that is really making sure that we're managing for long-term sustainable talent development versus kind of being kind of responsive and reactive to needs. And it also helps us position our employees in the place that's most important. The way I think about it is, for example, when I have these transformative initiatives and I need better scale or deeper expertise in an area, but I need it just for a period of time, it allows me to go find that talent for that period of time, have them work with my team. And what's really important to me is cultural fit, that they work in our team environment. So yes, I'm looking for diverse talent, but I'm also looking for a culture match with the types of teams that we want to develop internally. Are they going to work together? Am I going to get good knowledge transfer? So that when those scaling resources and deep expertise leave, my team feels like that they're ready and can lead sustainably at the right level. The other area that it's been really important for us is thinking about backfilling. So that allows me to take employees and upskill and reskill them in new areas without them having to worry about what other work got left behind. Right. So finding niche skills, you guys have been awesome at helping us find really high quality niche people where I'll say, he's never going to find this skill set. How's he going to find it? We haven't found it. And then he'll go find it for me. I'm like, yes. So that's been really amazing. Yes, you guys have been unicorn hunters and you've found really high quality folks that especially for the shorter term needs that we have, we just wouldn't have been able to do on our own.
Yeah. Well, I want to say that, that's a testament to the partnership. That's a testament to the fact that, Mathematica is in a rare and select group of organizations that we work with and support that actually bring us in, engage us, and give us that window into exactly what the mission is, what the succession plan is, what the internal challenges are, so that we can speak with your voice, Akira, your leadership voice, and Mathematica's voice in identifying that talent in the marketplace. Talking a little bit about the commitment that Mathematica has made to diversity and inclusion, it's almost like building a DNA or even harnessing a DNA. You know, there's a lot of firms out there that are trying to do this, but not necessarily having the same level of success or receiving some of the accolades that Mathematica has received in awards. What drives that, the commitment at the organization to DE&I?
You know, I really think one of the difference makers, and this was something that I really saw authentically as I was interviewing with Mathematica and making a decision on whether I would make a jump, was it's really in the DNA, and it goes all the way back to the mission of the company 50 years ago, to be in spaces of influencing policy and decisions in key areas around public well-being with an equity lens.
Mm-hmm.
And when a company is doing that as part of its work, it has to be thinking about that as part of its talent pool. Mm-hmm. So when I looked at Mathematica and I was like, oh my gosh, look at all these women officers. I've never seen an officer group with so many women in it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were other Black women who were officers. I was not going to be the first one coming in. That granted, that doesn't mean we've figured everything out.
Right.
We haven't, and we continue to walk that journey to figure out how do we continue to improve both our inclusiveness and our equity internally for our employees, and using that as the starting place for how do we continue to drive better solutions to our clients. So we think about it internally, and at the same time, we talk about culturally responsive work. We're doing work in areas where diverse populations experience policy and healthcare and education differently.
Right.
And we have to have diverse lenses. We have to have people who come from different places. We have to have people who have different life experiences and different stories. And they have to be valued and heard and included in order for us to do our work right. So it's real and it's in the DNA. And like I said, yes, we've got stuff that we've got to work on. But I'll say one of the things that I think makes Mathematica a bit different is the authenticity of their desire to get it right. It's not about checking a box. It's not about throwing up some net numbers that make it look better. This is something that's here and it's part of who we are.
Yeah, and the work that you do and that your organization does, Akira, has that direct impact on community, right?
Mm-hmm.
Both communities that are, you know, operating from I'd say more of a deficient standpoint, as well as communities that are maybe more in a privileged position, you know? And so there's obviously a responsibility around that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely we commend the fact that Mathematica and even your organization are so insightful and about how you approach the work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to IT talent acquisition, and as I mentioned, kind of the top of our discussion, you know, you've been in leadership roles for 20 years. How have you seen the trend shift in terms of the not just the identification, but even maybe the selection of talent, particularly when you look towards succession planning and you look towards building, you know, an organization for the future? Can you talk a little bit about that?
I think we're really intentional about the conversation. So we don't hope that it happens.
Right.
We're intentional about it and we expect it to happen. So, you know, when we look at succession planning or professional development plans. I also think, you know, as an underrepresented minority, it's something that is kind of just naturally I'll look at, okay, well, you know, how are the women in my team doing? I'm certainly sensitive to that as a woman in tech, not many of us here. So I'll look and say, how are the women in my group doing? Or how are we doing for veterans people? Or how are we doing for, you know, people of color? So it's an intentional look-see, but we want everything to be equitable and at the same time as making sure that there's an intentional look at our employee base, we're also trying to look at pipelines. You know, where are we going to get talent from? How are we investing in different pipelines of talent to help make sure that who comes into the door looks like the populations we serve.
Thinking a little bit more about trends and even how in the future and what's coming down the pike, what areas do you think industry striving to reach goals for diversity, for inclusion, and for better representation within their IT leadership need to focus on moving into next year? And you've talked about intentionality, you've talked about development, you've talked about a few things, but can you mention any other steps that organizations that are looking to make those steps should probably be mindful of?
Sure, I'll give my perspective. I'm not a D&I person. I'm a CIO, but I'm a CIO who happens to really care deeply about D&I. Some of the things that I think are really important are having diversity at the hiring table. When there are people who look different, from different abilities, different backgrounds, different life experiences, who are doing the hiring, they attract lots of different types of people because it is a signal to prospective employees that this is a place that respects and values difference. So one, it attracts a diverse pipeline when you're sourcing, but also the selection lens changes when the hiring and the decision makers are diverse. And then I think, pretty much every American company can really lean in harder on what inclusivity and equity means for their employees that are already there. I think it's very easy to start looking at, how do we hire diverse folks? But the thing that we have to really focus on is retention and equity for the employees that are there and how inclusively they are being treated, as well as what is the equity for development and career development that retains them. Otherwise, we can recruit them and they leave. I think those are the two areas, and those are hard topics to lean into. If we mean them sincerely.
Yeah. And I think to your point, when we start to look at these topics as applied, particularly in information technology and STEM related fields, it becomes even more compounded, right? I mean, oftentimes, in areas like IT or technology related functions, the same goals and objectives for a diversification are applied, but we do know that we're dealing with much less available talent in those areas to start off with. So
we're dealing with a labor shortage
in general.
for tech, and then even more so for underrepresented minorities and women. It's also lower. It's a challenge space, but what we cannot do is use that as an excuse to not do it.
Nope. You mentioned pipeline, and that's the key, right? Seeding these areas and marketplaces so that we are able to engage and develop talent as time moves on. My last question for you, I'm going to go straight futuristic tech here. There's much discussion about, particularly coming out of the pandemic, of virtual world, virtual work, and the application of Web 3.0 and Metaverse to the technology solutions we're trying to solve. Any thoughts on that? And, I don't know. If mathematical, or if you can see yourself more one of the an early adopter or more of a kind of a latter adopter in looking at some of these technologies.
We're actively looking and thinking about these things, I'd say, and everybody has to. I haven't met yet an IT shop yet that has this all buttoned up and figured out. I don't think anybody has figured out what future of work looks like yet. Yes. I will say we all have a lot more work to do, and I would heavily encourage partnerships again with our HR, our talent folks, and our change management folks, because this will not be just a tech problem to solve, but this is very much a people and an employee engagement issue to solve. And it has a D&I aspect to it. Yes. as we really lean into having employees of all kinds and all functions have flexible work arrangements, what that means for someone who has a kid who's unvaccinated and home from school needs to look different than what it looks like for someone else.
Yes.
And we have to think about how the future of work and the new types of technologies we bring to engagement and collaboration affect different populations differently in an equitable and inclusive way. And I haven't yet seen too many solutions that focus and help us think through that yet. There's certainly lots of tools out there that say, okay, this is going to help you manage hybrid and people who are at home in the office and different solutions. But we still have a conversation yet to be had about how different people are engaging in that hybrid workforce of the future.
Yep.
Differently, and how they're experiencing it differently from different age groups to different, you know, abilities to different cultural practices and norms and different living arrangements. Every employer wants to be the one that's offering a flexible work solution, and we haven't figured out yet how to do that and meet people where they are in an inclusive and an equitable way. So I think that's going to be a joint partnership, I think, about how where tech and talent and engagement meet.
Yes. Spoken like a true IT thought leader that has an eye and a mind towards exactly what the interaction and in the intersection of tech and social issues really looks like.
Yeah.
In terms of trying to solve business challenges. But thank you so much, Akira. Thank you again, really, for joining us today and sharing your insights, sharing your perspectives. I know we covered a broad range of subject, ranging from, you know, technology trends to talent trends to how the D&I goals and the DNA of Mathematica kind of factors into the decisions that you make as a leader. And we, again, have been, it's an honor to be a partner in that journey with you. And we look forward to seeing what the future holds, both for Ms. Akira Bell and Mathematica.
Thank you. And I always look forward to our continued partnership, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.